But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. He says, I press on toward the goal. He didn't say, I fall toward the goal, did he? You know, a lot of us would like to just fall toward the goal. Just kind of lay down and go to sleep and fall off our chair and hit the bullseye. But he didn't present us with that kind of a picture. The picture, rather, is of I'm pressing, I'm straining, I'm exerting effort, I'm applying myself. There's energy involved, not just sitting down and, well, what will be, if it never is, kind of attitude. He said, one thing I do, well, this would be a good one thing for us to do too. And yet a lot of us don't, but we should. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind. That's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult, especially if all of the evidence of the past is still staring you in the face. If all of your past failures or past problems don't seem so much in the past, they seem like they're present. They seem like they're face to face. They seem like they're right there. But you know what? Now is not now. When I said now the first time, that's the past. In fact, when I said now the second time, that's the past, isn't it? Wasn't it? Whichever. The present is a very small period of time. A while ago is a while ago. When I started, that's the past. But now's the present, praise God. So even if I would have got up here and stumbled over the microphone cord and said ain't pertaint and looked at you cross-eyed and one of my eyes wouldn't open right, that would be the past. I should just forget about it and go on and try to do the best I could now, not worry about then. Well, I'm glad I didn't do that, but should have, it would have given you cause to have a little a good laugh, maybe. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting. Now, it may be hard, but it's not impossible because all things are possible with God. And if God can forget your sins, then He can help you forget. And He says in the Bible that when we confess our sin to Him, that He forgets about it. He not only forgives, but He forgets. He doesn't remember our sins anymore. Aren't you glad? When we confess it to God, it's wiped out by the blood of Jesus, and it doesn't exist anymore. Praise the Lord. It's just like, I think in these days, in the last few decades, it should be easier for us to understand how that could happen, because with magnetic media, with reel-to-reel tapes and then cassette tapes and computer disc and all these things, or magnetic media, they can just be instantly erased. Just take an electromagnet and it'll wipe them out. Well, I don't know how God does it, but He erases the very memory of our sins, of our failures, of our shortcomings when we confess them to Him. Well, they're not just covered by the blood of Jesus, they're erased by the blood of Jesus. And if He can forgive and forget, then we need to be able to forgive ourselves and to forget. If God will forgive us and we won't forgive ourselves, that is putting ourselves on a higher level than God. That's saying that my standards are higher than God's. I'm more holy than God, unless the forgiver. And that isn't right, is it? If God forgives you, then you need to forgive yourself. If God forgives and forgets, then you need to forgive and forget. Not only for yourself, but also for those that have wronged you. Some of you, that's what's held you back. That's what's kept the door closed on the blessings of God in your life, because you've been holding grudges. You've found it difficult to get over this. Well, this person did that to me. And you try to walk in love. You try to forgive and forget, but it's been hard. Well, Jesus knows about hard things in life, because He lived on this planet. And He didn't live just by Himself. He had all kinds of unlovely people to put up with too. He had people that did Him wrong. He had people that stole from Him, didn't He? That conned Him out of His money, stole it from Him. In fact, the Bible tells us that He was subject to every temptation that we are. Many times I thought, well, Jesus, You didn't have to put up with this. You know, You weren't married. All apologies to my wife. Of course, I have a good wife, but you know, once in a while I counsel people and they have problems, and so I think, anyway, sometimes I think that, but then I think, no, He maybe wasn't in this exact same situation, but the same form of this temptation, He had it too. He had it too. Maybe a little different, but just as difficult, and the same principle was involved. He met every temptation and succeeded and overcame and never failed. Praise the Lord. Well, He knows what it's like. He absolutely knows what it's like. You know, He was born into a poor family. The reason we know they was poor is from the Old Testament. It tells how that the offering that they should make when they present their firstborn, that they offered the doves, was for poor people. If they couldn't afford to give a lamb, they could offer the doves. So they were poor people. We don't know what happened to Joseph, Mary's husband, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But his absence seems to indicate that sometime after Jesus was 12, the last account we have of Joseph being around, that he probably died. Now, we don't know that. That's just a guess. So we find that Jesus had brothers and sisters, and that he half brothers and sisters, of course, and that since he was the eldest, that it's more than likely that he was responsible for the support of that family. He had to work hard. He was a carpenter. In those days, the normal place where they lived would be a one-room house, a dirt floor. Well, you have it pretty good, don't you? You have it pretty good. Praise the Lord. Maybe you don't have a new vacuum cleaner to clean your floor, but at least you have a floor. Praise God. That's a lot warmer in days like these. Well, we've all been guilty of being unthankful for what we have, haven't we? But we're going to quit that, or at least do better, aren't we? Well, Jesus has been subject to all these temptations, and He overcame, and we can overcome. He can guide us through whatever, and He knows how to get through it because He's been through it before. I always like that. I always like to think about that as a new year, is we haven't been through life before. We don't know about a lot of things. Every stage of life gives you a different perspective on the one past you, doesn't it? Well, we've never been through the rest of our life. We've never went through life. We're just in the journey. But Jesus has already completed the trip. And He made it without one slip, without one false step, without one mistake, without falling into one of the devil's traps. Now, the devil has traps set for every one of us. The snare of the fowler. the snare out there that's covered up. Do you think the devil is going to come along to you and say, "Hey, look here, I got a trap set for you. I'm trying to destroy you. I want to harm you. I want to make you miserable. I hate you. Come on over here and step into this trap." He's not that ignorant. So he covers it up. And we're just walking along through life and think everything's going great. And if we're not walking with God and being led by the Spirit, we may think everything's going great, but we're going to fall into a hole. We're going to fall into one of the devil's traps. We're going to lose. We're going to suffer. We're going to be hurt. But we don't have to be, because Jesus has the road map. Hallelujah. And even if the devil tries to change the potholes in the road, change the location of the traps, Jesus has X-ray vision. Hallelujah. He can see right through the disguises of the devil. He can see through all that wrapping and tinsel and all the bells and things that the devil might try to put on something to make it look good, to try to attract you. Just like a mouse, you put cheese in a trap to try to get him to go there. Well, the devil sometimes baits his traps too. Some of his traps aren't all underground covered up. Some of his traps are above ground and have a big nice piece of cheese on them to try to bait you in, to try to make your mouth water and make you think, oh, that's just what I need. I'm going to go right over there. You better just slow down and pray. You better just slow down and get God's mind on the subject. Get a hold of God's wisdom. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, we need to put the past in the past. And it's not in the past if you haven't confessed it. Now, God's not holding it against you, but the devil's holding it against you. If you open the door on the devil, he's going to come into your life. And one way you can absolutely shut the door on him is just to confess your sins to God. You missed it. That's what sin is, missing the mark. You missed it. Confess it to God. Receive your forgiveness. And that slams the door on the devil. Then just act like God. The devil comes along and says, "Oh yeah, but you did this. Now I remember that." You say, "I don't know what you're talking about, devil. I forgot about that. That's in the past. God forgot it, I forgot it. You might as well forget it. Because I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to be scared by you. I'm not going to be dominated by you. That's the past. I'm forgetting what's behind, straining toward what is ahead." What we are involved in as Christians has been described as a race, as a fight, as being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as being wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Jesus didn't say it's going to be real easy and it's just going to fall on you and float through life on flowery beds of ease. But he did promise us he'd be with us, and he did promise us victory. He didn't promise us ease, but he promised us victory. God always leads us in triumph in Christ. If we're not triumphing, it's because we're not being led. I should put it this way. We're not accepting or following God's leading. Because God's plan for you, God's leading for you, is going to lead you in triumph. Not one bit of failure. And if you, or if I, am failing, it means we're not following God's leading. Now, we can't just take things from a worldly point of view and equate success with what the world thinks of success. There's more to succeeding than just the amount of money you have in the bank or car you drive or the clothes you wear. There's more to success in life than that. That isn't our criteria. But I'll tell you this much, although a lot of Christians have been right in proclaiming that truth, sometimes they get to the extreme and they go too far to where they make it an untruth. Those things are part of it, though. Those things are part of it. God is interested in you having clothes to wear. Nice ones. Warm house. God's interested in all that other. God's interested in your money. I don't mean just in you giving it to Him either. I mean He's interested in you having it. He's interested in you having your needs met. He's interested in all that. He's concerned. He cares. He desires the best for you. And that is absolutely a part of success too. It's just not all of it. It's just a part of it. That's what I'm saying. God is interested in His people being blessed in every way. Not just a few ways, but every way. God always leads us in triumph in Christ. He is going to lead you this year. You don't have to plead and beg. You don't have to go on a 20-day fast and try to twist God's arm into leading you. God desires more than you desire for you to know His will. God is more interested in you following His plan for your life than you are interested in you following His plan for your life. You don't have to try to twist God's arm into being on your side and leading you. All you have to do is cooperate. All you have to do is yield and say, "Okay, Lord, You're God. You're Lord in my life in 1984 and every year. And I'm going to follow You. And I accept Your guidance. I accept Your leading. I trust in You. I believe You're smarter than I am. I believe You're wiser than I am." How many of you believe God is? Sure He is. He's been around a lot longer. And even if He hadn't, He still knew more before He started than we know yet. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. We can't just sit around and not exert any effort. We've got to push on. Push on. I'll repeat it again. God never promised us ease, but He did promise us victory. Now, what a lot of people are looking for is just the easy way. They don't really care whether they win or lose. They just want it easy. Well, you're in the wrong place. The Bible is the wrong place if that's what you want. Now, a lot of people just float through, but the devil takes pot shots at them on every turn, at every turn. They're going to go through life defeated and miserable, and they're going to be blaming it on God, most likely. "Oh, well, I was just so happy before I became a Christian. Now everything's gone wrong. Ever since I decided to walk by faith, well, things have went bad." Well, sure, the devil's trying to defeat you. You need to get your armor up, your face shield, and resist. No, the devil's not going to play nice. He's not going to say, "Okay, now, you sit down there and just take a little rest. I know I've been pretty hard on you lately. I've been shooting at you a lot, all my fiery darts, and I've just about broken you down. I know you're just about ready to give up your faith. You're just about ready to accept that unbelief and say, 'Well, I shouldn't have ever tried anyway. I can't do it.' I know you're just about ready to think that, but I want to play fair, and so I'm going to just hold off for a while and let you rest up and recuperate and build up your strength again, and then we'll go at it. In other words, I'm going to call a truce for the holidays, you know. In the spirit of this season, we're going to suspend this war for a few days. We're going to have a ceasefire, and we'll start again January the 10th when I come back from vacation." He just doesn't operate that way, does he? He waits until the lowest possible time when he can do the most despicable deed possible. He waits, he doesn't wait, but we try to do good and we think we're doing good, and then he tries to stab us in the back. He shoots at us and shoots at us and shoots at us and shoots at us. And when we're under pressure, when circumstances look bad, well, he just ups the fire. He just calls in reinforcements to try to make things go worse and make it look worse. And he uses machine guns too. He doesn't use just one-shot guns. He uses machine guns. And he shoots them into your mind like this. It won't work, 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 it won't work. It's a speed of light, doesn't he? Well, bless God, our weapons are mighty through God. And we just need to use them. When we need to just open up our weapon and say right back, it will work, 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 it will work. Because God is on my side. Because God takes care of me. Because God is for me, and who can be against me successfully? Certainly not you, devil. You're defeated. Defeated. Jesus whipped you in my place as my substitute. You're whipped. You're defeated. That's what you need to tell him. Just say, go peddle your unbelief somewhere else because I'm not a candidate. He says, oh yeah, but you tried to walk in faith last year. You tried to do this before and you couldn't. Just say, well, I'm not dependent on my strength this time. I'm strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And I'm forgetting what's behind and I'm pressing on. Pressing on. Hallelujah. Well, you've got to make those decisions and you've got to stand by them. And the devil's going to try to discourage you and make you give up, make you feel like quitting. Well, you need to pray in the Spirit and get in the Word of God and confess the Word of God and just stay strong in the Lord. Just keep that power flowing. Hallelujah. I'd like to have you look with me at the first chapter of James. There's extremes that you can go to in just saying, well, Lord, whatever your will is, and then you just kind of sit down. And you think, well, I'm really cooperating with God. No, you're not. If you take it to that extreme, you've got to actively cooperate with God. You see, God didn't make you a puppet on a string. You've got to be actively cooperating with God in movement. The most important thing you can do first is to find out God's plan. Find out where God's leading. You know He's got the best in mind for you. You know He's got victory ahead for you. You know He's got the path already marked out. So you need to find out that path. That's the most important thing you can do. Find out that path. And don't get the big-headed idea that just because you found out from God the first part of it, that, oh yeah, well then this must mean, and then you just go on. Someone well said, I think, a lot of times God will say a word to someone and they make a paragraph out of it. I've done that. God directed me along a certain line and I assumed that it meant this and this and this. But later on, sometimes years later, I realized, well, that wasn't what God meant at all. What should I have done? I should have, after getting the first step, waited on God and got the second step. Instead of assuming, oh, I know what God means. Okay, let's go do it. Just as we need to find out the first step from God or the main direction to go, then we need to get direction on how to do it. Step by step. And just because we've done it before or something similar doesn't mean that you should just do it that way again. Maybe you did start a business before. Or maybe you did take on something like this before. And you think, well, I know how to make this work. Well, maybe in this different situation, this different time, this different place, you need a new formula. You need to approach it differently. God knows. So don't rely on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're going to have to watch yourself on that one, especially if you've been successful in the past. Especially if you have been successful, you're going to be tempted to think, well, I don't need to pray about this. I already know how to do this. I can do this. Circumstances may be different. And if you do it the same way you did it before, you may fall flat on your face. Walk with God every step of the way. Find out where to start. Find out what to do next. Find out what to do next. He's going to lead you in line with His Word by just that inner witness. What I'm trying to get to is the fact that you can't just sit around and wait for God to tell you something. God is speaking. God is leading. Go ahead and pray and tune in to what you believe is His direction and then take that step. But before you take another step, tune in again. In other words, stay tuned in to God. Stay tuned in to God. In James chapter 1, that's where I ask you to turn, verse 6, says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What I'm saying is that you find out God's will, and then you make a decision to do God's will, to go with God's plan. You need to make a decision. Well, what do you want? You say, but I thought you said find out what God wants. Well, you need to find out what both of you want, and it needs to line up in agreement. I'll tell you this for sure. If you think it's God's will, and it doesn't set right with you, well, then you need to stop and do some more praying. Maybe talk to someone. Maybe talk to me or your wife or somebody. God is not in the business of making people suffer. God is not out to try to torture people. God is not taking delight in sitting up there in heaven and say, well, let's see, who can I find that doesn't want to go to Africa? Where are they? I'll get them this year. I'll send them to Africa just to see if they love me. I'll just test them out here. God's not up there doing that. He's not a turncoat. He's not a traitor. He's on your side. He's for you. You and He are supposed to be going the same direction. And the only reason that you'll ever find yourself against the Lord is if you're on the devil's side, going against God. But God won't go against you. You can go against God, but God's not going against you. I'm so glad. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You've got to make a decision. You've got to determine, well, this is God's will, and I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to let Him guide me every step of the way. What we read back there in Philippians said, I press, or I strain toward the goal. Well, you've got to know where you're going to have a goal, and if you don't know where you're going, you're very likely to hit it. Not where you're going, but where you don't know. It's important to have goals. Some people talk of them in Christian circles as goal visions or faith goals or faith visions. The important thing is that you need to realize that you're not a puppet on a string. You're a free agent with just someone to give you instructions. Hallelujah. And remember this, I won't have you turn to it because I'm trying to hurry now. Romans 5:17 says that those that have received abundance of grace, well, we all qualify there. And the gift of righteousness, well, we all qualify that have received Jesus Christ. shall reign as a king in life by one, Christ Jesus. A king is the one that's in control, right? He's not the one that everybody else is kicking around. He's the one that's in control. Now, I don't mean that you're supposed to act like an idiot, but you're supposed to be in control of your life. Even if you're working on the job isn't your Lord and Master. The employer, even though you're to serve him and do good, that's not your God. That's not controlling you. You are supposed to be controlling things. If you need some time off to do something, well, you shouldn't have to have a big fight with your boss. You should be able to use your faith and get something done. And then the boss will come to you and say, well, I've been thinking here. Maybe you ought to take off some time and I'm going to just give you some extra paid vacation here. You say, wow, that's ridiculous. It'll always be ridiculous to you until you start believing that you are to reign as a king in life, and wherever you are, you and God are a majority, and you're not supposed to let circumstances dictate to you. Now, I'm not saying that you can just use your faith to take off the next year and your boss will just keep paying you, but I'm saying you need to be in control. And to be in control, you've got to have a plan. You've got to decide, well, what am I doing? What am I on this earth for? What am I here doing? What do I want to happen? And then, if you're smart, you'll say, well, what I want to happen is victory. What I want to happen is the best thing. What I want to happen is success. And then if you're really smart, you'll think, well, you know, God knows more about that than I do. I'm going to ask Him which way I should go. And then you find out from Him, and then you make the decision. Yes, I make the decision. I'm going that way. But you've got to make it. Just because you find out God's will doesn't mean that it's going to just happen. And just because you find out God's will doesn't mean that you're going to do it. You find it out, you decide to do it, and then do it. You've got to have a plan. You've got to have goals you're going toward. I'm not going to go into a lot of the different things, but you need to spend some time thinking about them in your life, different areas of your life, your family, your marriage, your finances. It's not just a matter of turning over a new leaf or making a New Year's resolution. What I'm talking about is making the decision to find out God's will and do it. With the power of God backing you up. Trusting not in your own ability or your own willpower or your own determination, but finding out from God His will and then making the commitment, Lord, with your help, I'm going to do this. Relying on your strength, your power, your dedication, I will walk with you. I will do your will. But I am going to talk just briefly about one area, and that's the spiritual area of your life. You know, if you neglect this area, the other areas are going to be in bad shape too. And it's a matter of basics, really. It's a matter of basics, just like you may have heard when you was a kid, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. It's not some hard, far out thing that only people like Billy Graham and Kenneth Copeland have revealed to them. It's just simple. Just simple. If you'll decide, well, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to find out what God has to say. You know, you'll find yourself, you won't feel yourself growing, but you'll be able to look back a year from now or 6 months from now and think, boy, I sure made progress. But if you don't open the pages of your Bible, if you don't get into the Word, you'll look back and think, oh, what? That's about all you'll have to say for yourselves. Just kind of mumble and complain. If you've never read the Bible through, or even if you had, you ought to read the Bible through all the way through. I think you should major in the epistles in the New Testament I think you should be more familiar with what they say, since they're written directly to you, since you're in the church and they're written to the church. I think you should be most familiar with them, but you need to read through the whole Bible. You need to know all the Bible. You can't know it all as well as parts of it, but I counted up for you, there's only 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Now that's not too many. In fact, if you just read three chapters every weekday and then five on Sunday, you'd get through with a little bit to spare in a year. Do you know that? There's only 260 chapters in the New Testament, and there's 261 weekdays in a year. So if you just read one chapter in the New Testament, weekdays, you could even take off Saturday and Sunday, and you could get through the New Testament just reading one chapter a weekday. Well, you might want to read through the New Testament twice during the year and read through the whole Bible once. That wouldn't be too difficult. It'd only be about an average of four chapters a day. Just read a couple in the New Testament every day instead of one, you see. You say, well, I want you to make a plan, to make a decision, to get into the Bible and get the Bible into you. Now, there's more to it than reading. The Bible, isn't there? I made up a little word to remind me, and that's cram. Cram the word. I'm sure you'll be able to remember it. It's confess, read, and meditate. See, C-R-A-M. Confess, read, and meditate. You need to do more than read. You need to confess the word. And I have sheets that I've made up, different confessions of the Word of God that I say, and I think that's good. But you also, as you read the Word, you can confess it. You read across something and it says there, well, fear not. You can just stop and say, well, I don't fear. Praise God, I don't fear. I'm a doer of the Word of God and I don't fear. That's confessing the Word. But it's not enough just to confess and read the Word. C-R, you also need to and meditate. And meditate. You say, I don't know how to meditate. Don't worry about it. Just start in. Just start in. Just take something and just confess it over and over and mull it over and over and let it take hold of you. Instead of just going through your confession sheet, well, the Lord is on my side. That's good. Need to remind yourself of all those. But then, stop, close your eyes, and take one of those scriptures or one of the scriptures you've found out of your reading for that day and spend some time just turning it over and over and saying it different ways. God's for me. God's for me. Praise God. God really is on my side. God's for me. And just let it sink in and just digest it and assimilate it and let it become a part of you. Praise God. You see, it's so easy if you just read across here. Well, I'm about to, boy, I got to hurry here and finish my chapter. And maybe you don't get that much out of it. Do it anyway. Don't just say, I don't get anything out of reading the Bible. I'm going to quit reading it. Go ahead and read it, even if you got to go through it fast. But don't let that be all you do. Also, take some time to really just feed on and digest a small part of it every day. If you do that every day, you'd grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and you'd be more spiritually aware and keen, and it'd be easier for you to know the will of God. It'd be easier for you to pick up what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. It really would. If you do these things, you'll be spiritually more aware, and it'll be easier for you to know God's will. Now, I'm not talking about something short term. I'm talking about all year long. It'll make a difference in your life. So simple. God doesn't give us anything hard. He knew there would be some of us that were kind of a little dense-headed anyway. So He not only made it simple, but He also said that He'd send the Holy Spirit to help us. We can't miss. We can't miss. We're in union with Christ and we can't be defeated. There may be times when it looks like we're defeated, But we're just going to get back up again. Why? Because God is in us. He's not going to just lay down there and give up. He's going to get back up in us. Even though the righteous fall seven times, the Lord's going to raise them back up again. So what about the past? Who cares about that? Jesus took care of the past. The blood of Jesus erases the past. Now we have a glorious future. And it may not be many days, or at the most many years, until Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. I'll tell you why He's coming back. It's because He loves you. And He wants you to be with Him, that where He is, you may be also. Hallelujah. He's not coming back because He's mad. He's coming back because He loves you. Now He's got some housekeeping chores to do, but that's not what's concerning Him. You're what's on His mind. He's in love with you. He's concerned with you. He wants the best for you. And we're linked up with Him. We're joined up with deity. God is leading us in victory. We can't fail. Oh, sure, we can encounter things that look like failure, but we just don't accept them as failure because our value system is not the same. We know that when God we triumphed and we just get up and keep on going. We just lift our hands and praise God and say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. What would you have me do now? And then we take that step. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be a Christian? Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to let you go, but I'm going to challenge you. Nothing is going to happen unless you make a decision. The years can go by and you can make no progress. It's up to you to make a decision because God is not forcing you. And if you go out of here and just forget what I said and watch the football game and just forget about it, I'll tell you, bedtime will be here before you know it. And then you'll be right back in the rat race of the world and things will just go on and you'll wake up next week or a month from now, a year from now and realize, I haven't got into the Word. I've been praying. I hadn't made any progress. It doesn't have to be that way. Make a decision and stick with it. God will help you. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to read 20 chapters of the Bible every day, spend 16 hours praying. But you do need to make some kind of decision. I guarantee you, the devil will make sure that you don't have just the extra free time around to do it unless you make a decision to do it. But you've got the time to do it. You've got the time. You may have to cut down a little on TV or radio or gossip, but you can fit in a few minutes for Jesus every day, can't you? If it's for your benefit, at least 4 or 5 minutes every day you can squeeze in for Jesus, can't you? If it'll do you good, don't you think you ought to? Say, I will. All right, God heard you. Now we got you on the line. Well, He's not forceful. I'm glad He's not, but He's helpful. Praise God. Go and let the Lord help you. Amen.